Welcome to another episode of Love and Reality Podcast. I am your host, Ricky Valero. On today's episode, we are going to be diving into Season 3, Episode 10 of The Traitors. It is the final episode before the finale. I did see some posts going around on social media. The reunion was, in fact, shot last night, which should be interesting to see unfold. There hasn't been a whole lot of drama. There's some drama, but not a whole lot of drama. But that being said, if you're listening on podcast platforms as we speak right now, you'll be listening to the double batch of The Traitors Season 3 Episode 10 recap, followed by the Vanderpump Rules Season 1 Episode 7 recap. Which is a lot of fun. That being said, thank you guys so much for supporting here on the Love and Reality Podcast. And if you're watching here on YouTube and you want to watch that Vanderpump Rules breakdown, you can watch it right here on the YouTube channel. But as always, I am joined by my partner in crime, Mr. Matthew Fox. How are you, sir?
You know, I'm doing pretty good. You know how in Game of Thrones, they always had like the penultimate episode was like the best episode of the season. All the traitors didn't get that memo.
They did not. They did not get that. There's a lot to unpack, right? There's a little bit, not a lot. Unsuspectingly to nobody, obviously, not only was Brittany introduced to the traitor, quote unquote, Danielle. Of course, she joined her in saying we're going to murder somebody. And talked about how they want to finish the game together. Danielle mocked Caroline the entire time, which, you know, for not being able to make any decisions. But let's say, you know, Danielle never had any backbone in that room ever, no matter who's been in that room with her. But the most disappointing part of this entire episode outside the entire thing was the fact that we got Tom murdered here.
A little bit of a weird choice. Now, it was a weird choice. They were talking, it wouldn't have probably been great for them to have murdered Gabby since she was the actually only other person that voted for Danielle. That would have been probably pretty suspicious. But, you know, I might have gone for Ivor.
Yeah, I didn't understand the battle to take out Tom. Tom had no, like, Dolores and Tom are in this bubble with each other, arguing with each other just constantly. It made zero sense getting rid of Tom. I still believe, I understand they quote unquote have the numbers per se, but I still think the murdering here should have been Dylan. I mean, the conversation consistently is like he was suspicious at the round table of her and, you know, he literally said the only reason that he kind of voted for Caroline was because she lost the fight in that moment. You know what I mean? But to me, I don't know. I don't think there has been a single good decision made in that traitor pulpit by Danielle this entire show. But nonetheless, it is what it is. You know what I mean? But let's go ahead and X marks the... Nope, that's not the X. X marks the spot on Mr. Tom Sandoval. We will sorely miss you deeply. Even with only one episode left, we're going to miss you quite a bit.
Because you missed him all throughout this episode, too. I mean, you know, the person that gets murdered, you find out at the beginning, but you don't get to see them. And it would have been, you know, considering this challenge was deeply unsettling, you know, we could have used maybe some more levity.
We could have used a lot of levity in this. I literally wrote this down. I am sad. I hate the show. Alan for once said, Tom, you were faithful, which I died hysterically laughing at that. Tonight is the last roundtable where the identity is revealed of who you are going to murder. An individual will be granted a power unlike anything we've ever seen before. Both of things we'll talk about later, but both of which don't exist in this episode.
I do have a theory. That was deeply unsettling you don't get a... I mean, the whole episode was a little deeply unsatisfying. I guess they're trying to keep some of the mystery up as they go into the finale.
Yeah.
But part of it, I think, too, is you and I both discussed we were never Team Danielle, so spending most of the episode seeing Brittany work overtime to try to pull suspicion away from Danielle and her to make heartfelt pleas to people that are just straight up lies are, or
yeah, it was hard to watch. It was very, very hard to watch. Ivar has pinpointed Danielle as a traitor. Dylan's back on Gabby for some reason. Gabby's on Danielle, but she's on Danielle and Dolores, which, I mean, kind of makes sense. Gabby's the only one making any sense here, saying it was traitor on traitor action.
Yeah.
Brittany approaches Dylan about Gabby, so that puts Dylan back in the Gabby situation, which I'm going to talk about that fumble at the round table in a minute. The group will go down memory lane. They can add 30K to the pot. We had three different games. Our first game was Matthew Fox's favorite game, where they brought the clowns back. But however, this is the introduction. And
they brought the creepy dolls back. I mean, it was like, if there was anything you disliked, it's coming back.
Alan reveals that one player that will capture, whoever captures the most gold will win a power unlike any before. They will become the seer. The player will be able to learn the status of one player. This player will be able to go face to face with any individual, and the player chosen must reveal if they're a faithful or a traitor or not. Definitely interesting, crowning there.
Wasn't that supposed to happen before the round table? I thought.
No. So what he said was at the end of the game, he says, one person has secured the power of the seer. Alan is withholding the information until after the round table. I assumed as well, watching the competition, that we were going to get this at the end of the competition.
Yeah, and it seemed like Danielle had the most money, so I thought that was going to...
Yeah, so what might... I have a theory on this in a second. The whole competition game, I don't really care about the competitions that much. I wrote some stuff down, but I really don't care. Back to Gabby breaking down why she believes Danielle's a traitor. This episode, I don't know. I was extremely underwhelmed by most of this episode.
Well, and considering it ran 63 minutes, I didn't think they accomplished anything.
No, because we get to the chatterbug. Dylan says that. Now, this is where Gabby did do a damn good job with Dylan, convincing him that Danielle is potentially a traitor. And it was crazy because this was my favorite conversation in the entire show, where Danielle talked to Dylan and Dylan was like, yeah, it's either you or Gabby. And Gabby really presented a strong case against your ass tonight. She said, will you say my name? And he says he plans to listen to Gabby, but doesn't want to believe it. And then, of course, Danielle put the, theatrics on. So hurt. I'm so hurt. Dolores doesn't want to hear Brittany when she says she wants to hear doesn't hear Brittany say she wants to hear Gabby's case. Brittany gets mad by that. Then she chases down Ivar.
And he's pretty much locked in to Danielle.
Yeah, who's very much locked in, which is why I think this is where I'm very confused. Okay, we get to the round table. Brittany speaks up, bringing Gabby up. Gabby speaks up, saying Danielle. Talk about the traitor on traitor thing. Take a shot every time the mention of the traitor on traitor gets brought up. At the round table, you'd be drunk. I love Gabby. She said, if I stand up there, I'll be another strong woman who's wrongly accused. And then Danielle said, I don't have the stomach to be a traitor. Gabby said, same. Dolores says, I've never seen a traitor in you. And then says, Ivar is a traitor. Dolores is playing a different game than everybody else.
I know. When she really jagged there, then it kind of forced the other two.
So there's part of me that... So this is my theory. If they go for Gabby at this round table... So this is my thing. So obviously everybody vote. We'll talk about the voting first, and then we'll unpack it. So Ivar votes Daniel. Dolores votes Ivar. So obviously you knew in this moment it was coming down to Dylan again. Danielle votes Ivar. Gabby voted Danielle.
Well, actually, I fairly wondered if, because they didn't obviously have time to talk. I wasn't 100% sure if Danielle was going to flip to go for Ivar or if she was going to stick with Gabby. And so when you get to Brittany, you're like, psychically link are we going to have a problem?
Right. So this is where, Brittany votes for Ivar, obviously. And then Dylan makes it a tie voting for Danielle, which means that, you know, they will not leave the room until someone's banished. That means they must make one final plea. So it's Ivar or Danielle. If it revokes in a tie again, then it's decided by chance. So this is my thing. I believe that Brittany went to talk to Ivar. Ivar 100% said, I'm all in on Danielle. So instead of trying to go to the round table and voting out Gabby, they were going to try to banish Ivar, murder Gabby that night. I think that was the plan. I think it was set in motion on purpose. My thing about this is this. I don't mind that. I'm okay with that. That's fine. They probably shifted gears. However, I think the shifting of gears here might ultimately cost Danielle. If they go for Gabby, I think they might have a chance to convince Dylan to change his vote here. Because you know what I mean? Because he's been very 50-50, Gabby or Danielle, right?
But he was never going to go for Ivar.
He's never going to go for Ivar because he's 100% certain on Ivar. Now, the question is will Brittany change her vote? And I think the only reason I think she changes her vote is because they made it go into the finale. I think Brittany can win this game if she votes Danielle. I really do. She probably coasts to a win. I don't think anybody's going to pinpoint her as a traitor.
Well, and for good reason, she wasn't prior to.
For sure. You know, right. Exactly.
She got one swung in late. Yeah, it's possible because if she doesn't change her vote, then what they do a game of chance, right?
Yeah, which I don't even know what that means. And then on the flip side, so my thing is this. So this is the reason why Danielle is going to be eliminated. One, I think Brittany's going to vote out Danielle, which would be astronomically amazing. Like I would want Brittany to win the entire show just because I think she's going to look at this in my head. This is how I look at it in my head. If I'm Brittany. Now, if she doesn't, then, you know, I don't think she's maybe as smart as we're trying here. But this is how we approach it. If I vote out Danielle, I think that Danielle's eliminated because of how they ended the episode. And then I think Danielle would have won the Seer, which means the Seer is out of play. I think it's stupid to reveal the Seer being Danielle in that moment, and then later on she's eliminated. So, like, I feel like you have to, if you double up on the finale, Danielle's eliminated. Oh, hey, the Seer was Danielle. That means nobody of the remaining people got to question another person amongst them to verify somebody's a traitor or not. So then we're down to obviously Brittany, Gabby, Dolores, Dylan, and Ivar as our final five.
Yeah.
So I don't know. Do you believe they voted that she's going to vote Danielle, or do you think that we're going to go down to the sudden death here?
I think we're going to go down to the sudden death.
God, I hope not.
I mean, they had to vote before the names get flipped over. I think she was probably voting, hoping that Dylan flipped his vote.
Oh, for sure. But that's the problem. Again, I feel like from the beginning here, if they make it Gabby instead of Ivar, they could have flipped his vote. I'm not 100% convinced that he would have. I'm not 100% convinced of that. But they had a better chance of Gabby than they did Ivar in a tie.
Yeah, I mean, if she did flip her vote, that would continue what has seemingly been the one tradition of this season, which is the deciding vote being someone turning against their ally. But I think the fact that her facial expression when they went to her is because she knows it's still going to be tied. Now it goes to a game of chance, because she had that same facial expression when Alan said, if nobody changes, if it's tied again, we go to this game of chance. So that's kind of why I
don't disagree with you. I'm just,
you're hoping. Yeah. We've hoped that for weeks and it hasn't happened. So
I'm hoping maybe finally.
I'm beyond hope. Yeah, pour one out for poor Tom. Pour one out for poor us. It's an interesting group. I don't really have strong feelings about who I'd like to see win. So,
I don't. If Dylan goes or if Danielle goes, Brittany wins.
Maybe.
If I think
she, would they then she would still murder somebody?
Yeah, so she would murder one person that night, and then it would go into the final, it'll go to the final four. So I think Brittany wins. Let's just say Brittany, let's just say hypothetically, Brittany eliminates Danielle.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Then we go to it being Brittany, Gabby, Dylan, Ivar. And I think she murders Gabby.
I just don't see any scenario, not that they won't do it, but I don't see any scenario where they murder Gabby and that benefits either of them.
Well, I think, well, so if Danielle does, if Danielle stays, right, I think they have to murder, they'll murder Ivar. But I don't know if you can murder Ivar.
Well, no, you, if Danielle stays, Ivar
got Ivar's gone. Yeah, yeah. So then, yeah.
Then you'd have to do
Dylan. But then that throws suspicion to you, then her. If you vote Gabby, it throws suspicion to Danielle. If you, then do you murder Dolores?
Yeah, I just think they painted themselves to where there aren't a lot of great options. I think if Danielle's the one that gets voted out, Brittany has to murder Dolores and take her chances, because
I agree with that. I keep forgetting Dolores is even in the picture. Like, she just is well, close to your way.
Yeah, so
I don't know. This was an uneventful episode. What happened was is it pissed me off just to start off with, because we had the elimination of Tom.
Yeah.
So poor Tom. All the love in the world to our good friend Tom, who we love so very much from our early stages of Vanderpump Rules, rewatching season one. And if you're at the end of the podcast episode, or we're transitioning into that, if you're listening to the podcast episode, if not, thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode of Love and Reality Podcast. We'll be back next week breaking down the finale. And then the week after that, we will break down the reunion, even though it is airing back to back. Vanderpump Rules, Season 1, Episode 7, In Love with Someone Else, IMDb score of 7.8.
The first time we've had a high score in a while where I can understand.
Right, exactly. That's exactly what I thought as well. All right. Synopsis of the episode. When Lisa threatens to fire Stassi for neglecting her responsibilities at Sir, Stassi must plead to keep her job. Sheena has an emotional breakdown at work when Lisa forbids her to work a party that Brandy is attending. Jax makes a bold move to win Stassi back, causing Laura Lee to attack Jax. First things first, I don't believe there was an attack method there. But, I mean, verbally, maybe, if you want to talk about it. But who's to say whether it was right, wrong, or indifferent? We'll talk about that in a minute. The episode kicks off hilariously with Laura Lee and Jax going to a sauna atmosphere together. Very strange sauna atmosphere, if I could say. I've never seen a sauna like this in my life. He's miserable. Apparently he loves cucumber water. She didn't want to go back into the sauna because she took some Prozac. And then in one of the funnier moments of the early stages of this episode, he looks at her and said, not funny, fucked up, I guess you could say. He asks her if this was what it like, was it like talking to her dad? Because I guess apparently her dad is in prison and he was in the glass and she was behind the glass and she was in front of the glass. A run of Jax collectively just, look, we've talked about it here. Like Jax, we haven't been exactly anti-Jax, but we haven't really been pro-Jax either.
I've been kind of anti-Jax. Well, a couple weeks,
yes. But to me, like, I feel like he was at least, yes, I don't know.
During that stuff with Frank the bartender, he maybe got a raw deal, but his entire relationship with Laura Lee has been,
lackluster.
I don't know why he's letting this get filmed and put on TV.
That's the thing that was crazy to me as well, because it's like these two, like, it's crazy. And like the one thing I have a caveat, and we'll talk about it in a little bit actually. We'll dive into Katie Stassi, Sheena Stassi, this whole entire dynamic here. Obviously, we get the news. Everybody else is starting to get the news that obviously Frank and Stassi broke up. Katie what a great friend she is, suggests that she's just work it out with Jax. Like, friends like that, who needs enemies? You know what I mean? And now we've got the trio of ladies, Katie, Sheena, and Stassi, hanging out poolside. Stassi's having to do work. She's supposed to be working for Pandora, which I thought was a company. Didn't realize that Pandora was actually Lisa's daughter. You know, I did not know the mix, and I apologize for that.
I thought it was where the Na'vi lived. So
yeah, I just like what's, you know, when you hear Pandora, you think of maybe like the music thing, or you. But back in the day, Pandora was a thing, right? That was like the, you know, the XM radio or the what's that? Yeah,
this is just. I mean, they were filming this in 2012. This is just about the time that the first. I can't even remember what Avatar came out.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Oh, yeah. She could be working with James Cameron. You know what I mean? Like, who you know? She could have been helping him write the script. We didn't know. But which is hilarious because the entire time she doesn't do anything. Like, she says, I'm here, but I have to work. I have to do my job. I'm running behind, blah, 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 blah. Which is apparently what all they do in the show is they never really work and never really do anything. But Kristen shows up. There's still a lot of animosity between Stassi and Kristen. Kristen shows up, says hi to the ladies, does not say hi to Stassi. Stassi's just like, I don't understand why she's so mad at me, but then tells the camera how much she hates her. You know what I mean? She's like, she's such a whore. You know what I mean? But whatever. I don't know. They all deserve each other.
I thought they had an awkward hug.
Did they? Maybe I missed the awkward hug.
I think they had an awkward hug poolside, but... Kristen talking about she's not going to avoid her friends because of Stassi, but she's angry that they, for being good friends, never really talked to that. And I'm not a girl, so I haven't experienced girl code, but I do think there might be some violations there.
There seems to be a lot of violations of girl code here, but that's, I mean, and kind of bro code as well, but we'll the biggest bro
code. And how about just the code of human decency?
Well, that part's left out. You know what I mean? And then we transition into quite possibly the most batshit crazy. One of the craziest scenes I think I might have ever seen in my time of watching reality TV. Like, when you go back in time and people want to pinpoint the moment they knew that Jax was not a good human being, I'm probably sure this is what they point at. Like, this is what they point at right here. So Laura Lee talks early in the episode, she talks about she's overcoming addiction. Okay. We didn't know, and apparently Jax didn't know how much of an addiction that she was overcoming from, you know, from her early days of her life. And first things first, when we cut to Jax, he says, Sorry. So a few minutes after the meeting starts, Jax arrives late to the meeting, which first off is kind of what I thought was kind of messed up, but it is what it is. But she says she started drinking when she was 12 years old, got into meth. And I don't know if it was you. And this is my question to you. I almost felt like Jax almost had like a smirk / laugh kind of going on his face when she said that. I don't know if it was a bad edit to the camera, but he was just completely blown away by this entire story by Laura Lee, right?
Yeah. And, you know, she's not really in recovery because where they end up talking about 3 days or something like that.
Or six. From, but yeah.
Yeah. From that standpoint, they probably shouldn't, you know, be together. And that raises some flags for him. I don't object to his misgivings about this being a good time to be in a relationship. But his choice of when and how to snap it off, there's no coming back from that for me. I mean,
yeah.
I mean, I don't feel bad for him at the end of the episode when he gets his business laid out bare, especially since we see where he goes from here. But, you know, telling her they shouldn't be in a relationship, but he's cool with all the sex they're having.
Yeah.
That was pretty low. Choosing to where he chose to do it. I mean, I was just... I think I sent you messages at the time. Yeah. I was like, this is,
yeah,
you can't come back from that. There's really, I mean, he could volunteer to go run orphanages in India from now on and live as a monk, and he would still, in my estimation, not be able to come back from that behavior that he allowed to be put on camera.
Yeah, it's crazy to me because, like, so it starts off by him saying, and I don't disagree, it's a full-time job dating someone with that is an alcoholic. Sure, right. Especially when you're in turn are an alcoholic is what I would consider him, because that's all we see a lot of them do is drink a lot of the time. So, but it's your decision to be with somebody, even though they're not with somebody. But he literally chases her down and said he didn't realize it was a bad time to have a conversation with her after she pours her feelings out in the, she's pouring her feelings out in the midst of this.
And meeting. Brought him to recovery as her like, personal right. support, which is right. usually, you know, I've not gone through it, but I know that that is a big step.
Huge step. It's a huge step of saying, hey, like I have somebody in my life that's helping me overcome some of these situations in my life right now. And that's what I felt like this was as well. And he, you know, his explain, I don't disagree with a lot of what he says here, right? I don't disagree with, hey, like we're kind of shoved up each other's ass all the time. We're around each other all the time. I want to be able to miss you. And it's hard to do that. We work together. We sleep together. We live together. We do all those things. Now, obviously there's boundaries that need to be there, but this was the most incredibly worst time to say that. She says, I like him a lot. He wants to slow down, but he doesn't want to slow down the sex. And to me, again, if you have this conversation in a normal setting, it's not a bad conversation. You choosing to have it and making her run off post a meeting is just some of the worst. Again, if I look back in time, this was the moment probably.
And then out of maturity, it decides to ghost her.
Right. Right. Out of complete maturity. Ghost her, unfriended her on Facebook. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Moving from here, we'll dive into that part of the portion of it, because there's a hilarious moment at the end of this episode where she starts yapping at the job. Pandora is a great, by the way, this is a moment when I found out Pandora was Lisa's daughter and not, again, a music platform.
I thought it was like a website or something.
I thought it was like Pandora. Like, I think there's like Pandora jewelry. There's Pandora music.
Well, it was supposed to be some kind of fashion thing. So,
right. So she lets her know Stassi's a problem. Hasn't produced articles in 2 months. That's not really shocking to me. Lisa says she makes allowances for her at work, for her excuses for her at work, based off of that she works for her daughter. I will say this. I like Stassi in this moment in one way, but she owns up to saying, hey, I screwed up, basically, which, hey, that's congratulations. But also, anytime she says anything, she just starts to cry, and like everybody, you know, is supposed to fall kneel to that, which Lisa doesn't, but then, and which says she doesn't, but ultimately says, we're going to give you another chance to get your shit together. Like, which one is it? You know what I mean? Like, which one are we having here? But yeah, this whole moment, whatever, I didn't really care about this, but the moment we cared about the most was next, because as I'm watching this episode, I screamed, Tom! Where has Tom been these last few episodes? It's starting to be really troublesome that we're not getting enough Tom.
They're just not available. I mean, they had the one episode where it was Tom and Tom and Jax working out where...
yeah, it's like five... are they working out at a kid's playground?
Probably.
Is that where Jax found Stassi?
And poor Katie's Tom getting lit up because he enjoys spending time with his girlfriend.
Like, I literally wrote that.
A lot that I'm understanding about Jax here. Even Sandoval looked a little put off by Jax's comments, but I had kind of given up. Borderline disgusts me. He's the Inora of the show now.
I want to say, though, I just want to let you know, we only have 11 more seasons to go with Jax Taylor here, man. So it's only up from here, from what I hear. So, but yeah.
I mean, he's the Captain America Brave New World of the show right now. He's hit rock bottom.
But it's crazy to me because, like, he literally chastises Shorts for literally spending the night with his girlfriend alone and confused how it's possible that you're able to do that. That, to me, is just like,
yeah,
whatever.
Well... You know, and he's already in his mid-30s, so he's never really going to learn intimacy or appreciation for women. So,
yeah, maybe date somebody your own age there, Jax.
I don't even think that would help. We got people his own age are not going to put up with that.
It's no,
exactly. Really why he's trolling
the early 20s
AA meetings. And
we have Larly and Stassi who have a one-on-one battle. Stassi, who's trying to get on the good side of Lisa and trying to get back on track after she said she knows she messes up, is now approaching Frank to ask her to let her leave because she, Frank. Frank's gone, probably. I don't know if Frank ever comes back, but
Peter, one of the heroes of the show, somebody who actually works, who actually toes the company line.
And actually told her, like, you know, I'm not switching anything. Like, and basically, I loved the thing because it was like, Lisa said early in the episode, don't bat those baby blues at me. They don't work on me. Apparently, they don't work on Peter either. So, because she was like, I want to switch. And he was like, no. And then, of course, she continues to bully Larly in this process.
I don't know. I thought Larly coming up to her and railing into her wasn't, neither of those girls was great, but then abandoning. Yeah, that's probably not great. The only person that had an issue at work that I sort of felt sorry for was Sheena. Because she got called in under false pretenses. But I have to ask you a question. So they showed clips of like a back and forth with Brandy. I could have sleptwalked through it, but that wasn't in Vanderpump, I'm guessing. Had to have been in a different show, right? Because they're like,
yes,
this happened in a previous episode. I'm like, previous episode of what? Because
I'm assuming it's like Real Housewives is what I would assume.
Yeah,
I didn't see that.
That makes me feel better because I was like, man, I must have missed something important. You know, maybe I was still laughing at one of Tom's early lines and missed this. But she was the only one I felt bad for, even nominally. You know, later, I felt bad for Larly when Jax dumped on her at the end of her meeting. But I don't really feel bad for her with her subsequent behavior.
Yeah.
I've never felt bad for Stassi, and I certainly didn't feel bad for Jax at the end of this episode. The only people I feel bad for are the people like me that went to visit the Sir Lounge and got drawn into this.
Yeah, the only person you're probably mad at are me, because I brought this idea to the table for us to watch
it together. I mean, it's fine watching it and not having to be there, but note to self, if you go to Sir, do not walk up to the bar.
Yeah, do not walk up
to nothing the bar. Nothing good happens at the bar.
No. And that, I wrote that down too. Like, Sheena being upset made plenty of sense to me here. Like, why, if she wasn't brought into
it, that was a little unfeeling.
You
know, just suck it up. If she was literally told by a manager, and you know, props to Peter, who in his aside interview says, this is my bad. I did this before I realized that it was going to be a problem. If she really was told she had to be there to work this important event and had to miss something else important, and then gets there and is told, well, we just want you to go cover somebody out here, there's probably a very different compensation range, is the unsaid factor here. Or,
because I can imagine working the party inside, you're probably, like, I would assume that these people are higher end individuals.
Well, and it's an important job that you're being scheduled for. Like she correctly points out, I wouldn't have missed an important audition to just fill in for somebody when I wasn't on the schedule.
Right, exactly. No, because I'm working a big event, probably going to make some good money. They always do talk about how none of them have any money. So, I mean, if you're going to miss an important audition, I'm pretty sure the monetary compensation would have been nice to be on the back. That's where I felt like this is one of the I think Lisa's wrong on several different occasions to just keep on giving people chances, but I know that's the element of reality TV, so you have to, because there's the people that are going to be on the show. But when it comes to the workplace environment, her chastising Sheena here, I felt she was completely wrong. I felt like Sheena was in the right. She didn't do anything wrong. And yeah, like to me, like that, I mean, to be honest with you, probably the right thing to do would have been compensate her anyway, in my opinion. But
my question is just, you know, next week is the season one finale. And, you know, it doesn't look like, you know, I went and I looked. It looks like Larly appears in the finale, and she appears in that episode 10, which is the behind the scenes where I think they pull up footage that you never saw. But it doesn't look like she even went to the reunion show.
Ooh. Well, maybe she's not.
She's just not listed in. She's not. This is it for her. Episode 8 and 10 are are it for her.
Probably good for her.
I'm guessing she leaves the restaurant in some kind of explosive way. You know, I looked at her IMDb credits and she did have some acting jobs and stuff, but yeah, I don't know how you come back from what she did at the bar either. To me, while I don't feel bad for Jax from a, if I own this restaurant standpoint, that was probably as low class as what Frank did.
Oh, absolutely.
You can't have somebody, no matter how amusing or deserving it was on the person she inflicted, you can't have somebody out there saying some of that untoward sexual comments in the middle of, like, if you're at a restaurant, I think about it, like, if I'm sitting at Chili's and I hear somebody up at the bar talking about the unprotected sex they've been having with the bartender, I'm probably just not going.
Sorry, we were dating and he stopped talking to me. He doesn't want to be known as a horrible human being to the customers. Sorry, guys.
Yeah, you know, you're sitting bar side trying to watch a game and you're hearing all that. And it looked like when they were cutting to those customers, it looked like two of them maybe on a date or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Memorable. Yeah, but not in the right way.
No, not definitely not in the right way. Maybe that's what leads to ultimately her maybe getting fired or something like that.
I mean, this was a better episode in terms of unintentional comedy and some of the drama. I didn't see why people were excited about the drama from some of the past ones, but a couple of these people, so there's no coming back from what they've done.
All I know is I better get an influx of more Tom in season two. That's all I got to say.
Well, so we know we're going to get more Tom because Tom's about to do something not great.
Oh, yeah?
Well, you know that for most of the run of the show, he's with Ariana Maddox.
Yes.
And that first comes about, I believe, because he steps out on Kristen, who he's with now, which makes it more like, I don't know if people are going to be as surprised later. So you're right. Jax only goes full-time through season eight. But that does feel like a lot. You've really dampened
well, these 170 episodes.
So I've got seven down, 163 to go.
A sneak peek at the season finale next week. It is titled Last Call. It only has a rating of 7.3 on it. Lisa organizes a sexy photo shoot for the staff of Sir, bringing everyone together for one explosive finale. Sheena attempts to win back Lisa's respect after storming out of her VIP dinner, which I don't understand why she would have to do that. But
she after didn't Summer storm out of the dinner, she got thrown.
Yeah. After a summer of bitter fighting, Stassi and Kristen try to bury the hatchet, and the truth is finally revealed about rumors surrounding Jax. I don't know what that is, but I'm sure it's going to be something fun. I watched the previews for next week, which I try to avoid, but I did, and I did see something. Why would you do that to me? Stassi said to Jax, which I don't even know how that's a question anymore. What do you mean? Why did you do it to me? You know why Jax did it to you. He's not a very good human being. But yeah, that was definitely, MVP of the episode. Who do you have for your MVP this week?
I mean, I feel like this is an episode where we, as I mentioned, we might be better off having an LVP.
Maybe we'll introduce that in season two. Season two, it'll be, we have an MVP and LVP. You know what I mean?
I mean, I guess I'm still going with Peter because he seems like, despite all the craziness and the crap, he just is trying to do his job. And I do appreciate that. You know, if you wanted to go outside from an entertainment standpoint, Laura Lee's final belly up to the bar. But I'm going to stick with Peter because I do admire, I've mentioned, I've probably done more work at Sir Lounge in this episode than they've done all season, most of these people. So,
yeah, except for sure.
Peter's innocent.
Peter was probably going to be my MVP, but I want to try to be a different MVP from you each and every week. So I'm going to go with somebody that's been my MVP in the past. I'm going to go Sheena. I feel like she got the short end of the stick. That's the only reason why I believe she's my MVP. Laura Lee was probably, you're right, if on entertainment purposes, is probably the MVP of this. But for me, I'm going to go Sheena because I felt like she got the short end of the stick. So, but that is it for this week's episode of Vanderpump Rules Season 1, Episode 7 Recap. We'll be back next week breaking down Episode 8, the season finale of Season 1, before we get into the reunion. And we're jumping headfirst right into Season 2. Matthew Fox has never been more excited in his life. Thank you guys so much for tuning into another episode. Again, we'll be back next week.
Hi, Drew and Jonathan Scott here, reminding you that a lot of life's firsts are better with help from American Family Insurance. Like your first home expansion or your first big lightning strike. There's a first for everything. Get the right home policy at the right price with the right help from American Family's agents. Life's better when you're under American Family's roof. Insure carefully, dream fearlessly. Get a quote and find an agent at AmFam.com.
Products not available in every state. American Family Mutual Insurance Company, S.I. and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.